You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, a scientist and her team have demonstrated that one part of our body could be a big indicator of how severe our COVID-19 symptoms might be, and that's our gut. Turns out that our microbiome, the bacteria and other microorganisms in our gut, plays a big role in the overall health of our bodies, including supporting our immune system's response to viral infection as well. Our next guest has written about her interest in investigating interactions between diet, microbiome, and immunity, including a recent piece for The Conversation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how this works, this microbiome? Do you have questions about the work our guest team is doing to study immunity and chronic disease? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ana Maldonado Contreras is an assistant professor in the Department of Microbiology and Physiological Systems at the University of Massachusetts. She's co-founder of the Center for Microbiome Research and is interested in understanding the interaction of diet, the microbiome, and disease. Ana, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Now, thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, I've been throwing that word around, microbiome. Tell us what that is, please.
Yeah, it's a handful, isn't it? So the microbiome is just the composition or the group of bacteria, not just only bacteria, but also fungi and viruses that live in and on us. And when I say in, usually it's like in our gut and another mucosa places in our body, but also in our skin. And we have discovered in the past 20 years that we are actually very much populated by them.
And I think a lot of times when we hear bacteria and virus, the high-profile ones are ones that do bad things to us. Most of these guys who live inside us, right, they're good for us.
Yeah, exactly. We have a wage at war against bacteria and viruses because the prominent ones, the ones that make us sick, they really make us sick and they really cause an impact. But the good ones seem to be silently working towards making us healthy. So you are completely right. These huge trillions of bacteria, I'm going to refer most in bacteria because it's when we are study the most, that these trillion of bacteria living in our bodies are mostly beneficial and actually help us to train our immune system to digest foods that we couldn't digest by ourselves because we don't have the proper tools to break down some of the foods that we ingest. So just understanding that relationship of this huge universe of bacteria that live on us is what keeps me awake at night.
Now, these bacteria, and again, you say mostly bacteria, they live in our gut, a lot of them. And I understand, it makes sense that they help us digest our food. I get that. But it seems like we keep learning, including your research, they're doing a lot more than just being our digestive system, right? What kind of things are we finding that they do for us?
Yeah, so and some of the research that I'm focusing right now is in how they train our immune system. So we have there are studies that have seen in animals. We cannot do that in humans, but they call germ-free animals. So are these animals that are born without any bacteria? They're completely sterile, and those animals have a deficient immune system. They're actually the barriers that protect us from pathogens are debilitated. And if we colonize those, in this case are mostly mice, with these beneficial bacteria, then they get primed, they get like trained, and then they create a robust response against them pathogens and defend us from that. And that's what we're trying to understand because, you know, the excessive use of antibiotics, for example, or the increased use of C-section, elective C-section, not the ones that are medically, necessary, seems to be really lowering the diversity and having a dent on the diversity of these microbiomes. So I should say that one of the ways that we measure that this is a healthy microbiome, there's this healthy bacteria community, is by the diversity. So having a very different box that the bacteria that do different jobs actually makes us more healthy.
We're talking to Ana Maldonado Contreras from the University of Massachusetts, co-founder of the Center for Microbiome Research, talking about the relationship between the healthy ecosystem, hopefully healthy ecosystem in our guts and all the bacteria and other stuff in there doing work for us and our overall health. Okay, Ana, up till about a year ago, a lot of your research was focusing on this this environment in our gut and various kinds of chronic conditions, diabetes, obesity, and more. What kind of things were you finding out there?
So I'm interested in this. The research has been done already. My lab is interested in how shaping that alter ecosystem, as you call it, that I think is right on point. How can we change this ecosystem to increase diversity and to actually favor the bacteria that we know are beneficial from our health? So there has been a lot of research on these chronic diseases, and we see again and again and again that those chronic diseases are related to this altered composition of the microbiota and this altered immune system that is sometimes overreacting against ourselves. So how can we shift that? Is an ecological question. How can we plant more trees in this ecosystem? And so for that, I use diet. And I'm very interested in how diet can change the microbiome. And understanding specific foods and components of the foods that can target a specific bacteria that we're looking at. So diet, and we have learned that diets have to be personalized. It's actually also a very behavioral change. So as close as we get to understanding, is carrot versus potatoes versus pasta versus tomato, then we can have some personalized dietary guidelines so to train physicians so they can help their patients to eat healthier and depending on their food preferences.
Okay,
and so that's what my job has been centered, and I study mainly inflammatory bowel diseases.
So I understand this is a complicated system, and Rob's gut ecosystem might be different than Anna's. So one size might not fit all. That said, Are there general dietary things that we could all be thinking about that for most of us, maybe all of us, are probably going to help boost that diversity of good stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, this research is in infancy, but I will tell you what I eat. So I eat a lot of nuts. I eat a lot of lean meat, mostly fish, vegetables, at least 3 times per day, fruits. So a variety of foods that are lower in fat and that are rich in fiber. Fiber seems to be the key to, that's what the wood bacteria like to eat, fiber. And where do you find that? You find it in oatmeal, you find it in chia seeds, you find it in vegetables, in fruits. And so that's what I did. So that would be my advice.
And that sounds like great news, Ana, because I've talked to cardiologists on the show and they say to eat those foods you just said, and people talk about preventing Alzheimer's and things like that. These are things we already know are healthy in other ways. So that's nice to know, right, that they reinforce our gut bacteria as well.
Well, and that's, we believe that that's the connection, actually. So there is an underlying inflammation in patients, for example, with cardiovascular diseases. So feeding the good bacteria would actually help to lower that inflammation and then to have, reduce the episodes later in life. So everything seems to be connected to the same pathways. And that's what the foods are very similar. But that is easier said than done. And as just changing their diet is a huge behavioral change. So what we're trying to do also is to teach patients how to cook. I think we're growing far and farther from our kitchen. So, it's just easier to grab what is on a food and fast food restaurant. It's cheaper. You will think it's cheaper, actually, than if you think about the long-term consequences. It's not as cheap as you think. So we're also have a teaching kitchen, for example, at UMass, where we teach patients what to eat and how to cook that the food that we're telling them what to eat, so they can. They're also going to the grocery store. Sometimes if you go, you go in automatic and you go to the same aisles. So we believe that our research is going from understanding the molecular mechanism of how this food interact with your gut epithelial cell and your bacteria, but also then how can we make a behavioral change that it can be sustained for long term and patients can eat this food for life.
We're talking to Ana Maldonado Contreras, assistant professor of microbiology and physiological systems, co-founder of the Center for Microbiome Research at the University of Massachusetts. We are talking about the lively ecosystem that lives in our guts and the health benefits it can have if we take good care of it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you eat with your gut health in mind? Do you do some of the things our guest was talking about? Do you take supplements or other foods that are supposed to help your microbiome? Do you have a question for our guest about her research? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Coming up, we'll get into our guest's latest research on how all this connects to resistance to diseases like COVID-19. That's coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Ana Maldonado Contreras, co-founder of the Center for Microbiome Research, also a microbiology professor at the University of Massachusetts. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about health, well-being, and the bacteria in our guts. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Mount Horeb. Mary, hi.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. I am 52, and I went through the change that we do at this around this time. And I thought I was going to be spared because I eat healthy and I work out from the, I guess it's called like the menopause pouch or the weight gain that happens. And I'm wondering if from your experience, if there's anything age-related, like changes in the biomes and whatnot, and the hormonal changes and everything that is associated with that and different choices I can make as far as what I eat to help counter that.
Mary, thanks for the call. Ana, thoughts on aging and changing biome, weight gain and menopause?
Oh, thank you for that question. That's a great question. And we do see differences in our microbiota as our body changes and age. The role of hormones in those changes are understudied, I will have to say. But we do believe that have to be they have to do something with the way that the microbiota is shaped up. So I'm not a nutritionist, and actually I'm not actually a doctor. I won't give you any advice. Again, I will just tell you what I eat. and what we have been doing in our research, for example, we're starting to focus on woman health, and we are actually doing interventions in pregnant women with Crohn's disease to look at how we can change with perinatal diet, the microbiota of what the baby is receiving from their mom. So to that specific listener, I can, again, it, I think the eat healthy advice is the only thing I can give you. And more research about aging, you're absolutely right. We change, our body change, and also our microbiota seems to be changing and sometimes get weaker most of the time.
Thanks for the call, Mary. We'll go to Henry now in Madison. Henry, hello.
Hi. So I've actually heard about research that connects stress levels to microbiota health. And I was wondering if you knew, or could give a real bird's eye view mechanism for how that worked, or if there were any specific foods that would help more than others.
Henry, thanks for the call. What do we know about microbiome and our stress, Ana?
Oh yeah. That's yeah. Now there is a huge boom of the gut-brain axis and how our microbiota can, you know, there are papers and more research coming on how the microbiota can even change our mood. You know, they're still, again, in infancy, and there's a lot to be learned On that sense, there is a lot of studies that have been done in rats and mice on that end, and it seems to be changing. If you change your microbiota, a response to stress does change. And the disease that I study in the lab, which is inflammatory bowel disease, there is a very strong connection with having a stress and then a flare up, and which means, you know, huge symptoms, constant diarrhea, and very, very debilitating symptoms. So we're still learning about that. It does seem to have an effect, but we don't know still. The question is the egg at the chicken question. What is it first? Is the stress that triggers that changes in the microbiota, or just having an unhealthy microbiota triggers stress? So it seems to be, and again, we're still looking into that, but that even people with stress and people with some, and there's like, again, very novel and recent research, even with depression, seems to have, again, this underlying subclinical inflammation that seems to be related to this altered gut microbiome.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Ana Maldonado Contreras, co-founder of the Center for Microbiome Research, about our guts and our overall well-being. All right, Ana, I said up to a year ago you were researching chronic conditions. Now, COVID-19 comes along. The people most at risk have some of the same chronic conditions that you study: diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular problems. What did you pivot your research toward when it came to COVID-19 and these underlying conditions?
Yeah, and a little bit of background. So I got to this, my office is in this medical school of UMass, which is one of the top medical school in the country. And when I got to pick up my belongings to start working from home, you know, you see the lobby was completely empty. So I felt very defeated as a scientist and as a person that is trying to solve problems for humanity and diseases caused by microbes. So I decided, what can I do? And that plus then the nascent news of these patients having more severe symptoms for COVID disease, the comorbidities that were associated with it, like you say, were chronic disease that I know that are associated with an altered microbiota, cardiovascular diseases, type 2 diabetes, obesity. So those diseases, one of the main risk factors to develop those diseases is poor diet. It's incredible that how revolutionary can be just having a healthy diet in daily. So what we see for example for Crohn's disease is just that these microbes actually exacerbate an immune response. The body overreact against itself and against other bacteria. And that's exactly what's happening with the severe COVID-19 patients. It wasn't the virus itself killing the patient. It was like the overreactive, most of the patients that die have an overreactive immune system that was then targeting their own cells, and then they start having organ failure. So I start putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So we have these communities that are, in America, half of our adult population suffer from these chronic diseases. Our diet is very poor, and then we get hit with this virus, violent virus, that then activates our immune system, and us that are debilitated with these chronic diseases plus a bad microbiome can have this overreaction. So that was the rationale behind the study that I started putting together. And then we ended up seeing that indeed we recruited patients, hospitalized patients in our clinics, in our hospital, and looking at differences in the microbiome for people that have very severe symptoms, those severe symptoms that I'm telling you that seems to be of an overreacted immune system, and the patients that do have symptoms, but it was a moderate and then survive and went along with their life. And we did see very marked difference in the composition of the microbiota. And we also could identify using very sophisticated mathematical modeling that has been validated for other studies, that we can identify a specific bacteria, like one bacteria that can be cultured that is a very good predictor of disease severity, of COVID-19 severity.
So, Anna, in our last minute, I mean, it sounds like this could be a big long-term public health intervention for future diseases, maybe making sure people have access to affordable, healthy food. Is this part of what you're hoping for, a takeaway from your research?
That's what I'm here. That's what I'm here, and that's what I write in the conversation besides peer-reviewed journals. I do really believe that policies that help have access to fresh foods and to healthy foods instead of and fast food foods, as I call it, a very processed food, will make a key in changing the way we eat and in our health. And the investment that we do up front will pay in the long run, because we will reduce healthcare costs. I mean, the chronic diseases is a huge budgetary hole in our healthcare system. So yeah, that's what I firmly believe, that we need to have policies in place to have access to fresh foods and to healthy foods.
Anna, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
No, thank you so much.
That was Anna Maldonado Contreras, assistant professor in the Department of Microbiology and Physiological Systems at the University of Massachusetts. She's also a co-founder of the Center for Microbiome Research. She joined us for a look at our guts, our microbiomes, what it all means for disease resistance, chronic diseases, and maybe even our ability as a society to deal with a pandemic like COVID-19.